I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, saying, "Come and see."
Noise of Thunder Radio with Christian J. Pinto.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys, and welcome. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Today on the show, we are going to talk about a number of things going on. We're going to be talking about the showdown with Elijah and the prophets of Baal, and how this is a picture. It's a very powerful picture, I believe, of what's going on in our country right now. And there's a new story about the Muslim congressman, Keith Ellison, and how he has now tweeted out a picture of a book in support of the Antifa movement, the supposedly anti-fascist movement. Now, for those who don't know, the entire argument of being anti-fascist is a very communist argument. The communists have used this throughout the 20th century, where they claim they're opposing fascism and this kind of thing. In fact, there's if I remember correctly, in the film Dr. Zhivago, when you see the young communist leader who's one of the main characters in the film, and you see him at one point, so he gets into a debate with somebody and he turns and he calls them a fascist. Okay? Because that is a standard argument. And a fascist is essentially anybody who disagrees with the communist attempt to overthrow a country, whatever that country may be. Right now, patriots, those who believe in America first, those who believe in protecting the American people and upholding the Constitutional Republic of the United States, are all being called fascists by the radical left. But what's disturbing about all of this, because Antifa has been called, it's been called a terrorist organization. That's the disturbing thing. In fact, here it is, Antifa, U.S. Security Agency's label group, domestic terrorists. Department of Homeland Security has reportedly been warning about growing threat of violence between left-wing anarchists and right-wing nationalists since early 2016. And yet here we have a tweet that was sent out by Keith Ellison, who is the Democratic National Committee's deputy chair, the DNC deputy chair, Keith Ellison, who is a Muslim. And he is holding up a book. He took a selfie of himself holding up a book that says Antifa, the Anti-Fascist Handbook by Mark Bray. And you can see the picture online. The cover of the book looks completely like a communist book cover. It looks like something that came out of communist China, honestly, with the, what looks like the rising sun or sunburst or whatever, red and white, but red, black, and white, which are your historic communist colors. That's the color scheme for the book. And Ellison here, this is, by the way, this is covered by a number of mainstream news sources. They all have. They're all covering this. Fox News has got a story on it. The Daily Caller, Newsweek, Conservative Review, Chicago Tribune. A lot of your mainstream news outlets are covering it. Of course, it's covered on InfoWars as well. And it says this. It says, quote, Ellison tweeted a picture of a book entitled Antifa, the Anti-Fascist Handbook, along with the words, at Moon Palace Books, and I just found the book, that strike fear in the heart of at real Donald Trump. Okay, the book that supposedly will strike fear in the heart of Donald Trump. And really what he means, he's not just talking about Trump, he's talking about all those who support the effort that the Trump administration has initiated to make America great again, to undo all of the corruption. Well, I wouldn't say all of it. I can't say all of it, but to undo a lot of the corruption that has been done by the socialists and the radical left for decades. Now, Trump's approach so far is, well, it's primarily economic. And of course, he comes at it from that perspective. He's a businessman, and he's talked about for years how he has said that the United States is being ripped off by the international community and by politicians in our country making bad deals for the American people, etc. He said that for years. You can find video clips of Trump long before he ever got involved in politics. He was being interviewed by Oprah Winfrey decades ago, and he talked about this. So this is, he's had a patriotic view, I think, of our country in that regard for many, many years. But he is also, somewhat surprisingly to me, when he came out and he began talking about Christianity and the Bible, even though he's clearly not very knowledgeable about the scriptures, he's not a well-educated Christian in matters of theology. But he defends the tradition of Christianity, and he seeks to honor Christianity. That's what I see from President Trump. And of course, President Trump does profess to be a Christian. He openly claims that he is a Christian. For people who think that perhaps Trump is not a Christian, you might look at what he's doing. You might compare it to what kings like Nebuchadnezzar, Cyrus the Great, and others in the Old Testament did. When they gained knowledge of the God of Israel, they would make these declarations in favor of the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And, you know, of course, you wonder with some of them, like Nebuchadnezzar, if they actually converted at that point and became believers in the one true God. It's very interesting. But making these proclamations honoring God and honoring the God of the Bible, I think President Trump has tried to do that in his own way. However imperfectly he may have done it, I think he has tried to do it. For me, I have to tell you, it is a breath of fresh air in comparison to listening to Obama for 8 years, which was a nightmare. Here you had a guy who had supposedly been going to a church somewhere, and he spent every available moment trying to find ways to insult Christianity and to exalt Islam. Which brings us back to Keith Ellison. Ellison, if you go research Ellison, there's an article here on Front Page Mag, frontpagemag.com, from March of last year. And the headline says, New DNC Deputy Keith Ellison's Islamic Agenda for Congress, and he has a plan to make it happen, says former CARE intern. CARE, the Council for American Islamic Relations, that has interestingly been declared a terrorist organization by the United Arab Emirates. Their fellow Muslims at the UAE calling them a terrorist organization. It also says CARE was named by federal prosecutors as an unindicted co-conspirator in a Hamas terrorist funding operation. And then goes on to say, a former CARE intern who prayed with Ellison says Ellison once boasted that his breaking of the Muslim barrier on the Hill would usher in dozens of other Muslim lawmakers like him, and that he had an election-by-election vision for increasing their ranks. Now, we have to understand this movement, this attempt to Islamicize America, goes back to the 1980s at least, possibly sooner. But there's a video out there, I've played the audio from it on the show before, of a Muslim woman talking about converting all of America to Islam. And that video is well over 20 years old. So this is not something that just sprang up a short time ago. I've talked about the film, the documentary Jihad in America by Steve Emerson. Great film. I believe every American should watch it. Every patriot should watch it because it was a pre-9/11 documentary showing all of these Muslim camps in different parts of the country. And they're putting them in places that are in the heartland of America. That seems to be the tactic. One reviewer talked about how what the plan is, apparently, is to fill these conservative small towns, places that are like Mayberry, USA, small towns across America, and to start filling them up with Muslims so that the Muslims will end up affecting the vote in those counties, in those areas, in those states, and so on, and over time, possibly help turn conservative states into liberal states. That seems to be part of the ambition there. And it's just another example of something that you will find if you research the Marxist movement, the globalist movement in this country. They are not trying to claim victory in a matter of months or even in a few years. They know that the programs they are setting forth are long-term programs. They're thinking generationally. They're thinking, okay, what's going to happen 20 years from now? What's going to happen 40 years, 50 years? What's going to happen in the next 100 years? That's how they think. And so they sow these seeds of subversion at a level that when they first start doing it, you're thinking, oh, it's no big deal. There's some new Muslim families over here, over there. Who cares? It doesn't really matter. But you don't realize what they're doing. They're laying the groundwork one step at a time, and they're going somewhere with it. And there's just a number of programs. The education system, to me, is probably the best example where they began subverting the education system in our country back in the 1920s. They've been at that for almost 100 years now. And the openly stated ambition, according to the Rees Committee in the 1950s, a congressional committee, the open ambition of these tax-exempt foundations was to essentially take our country away from our Judeo-Christian history, really our Christian history, our Protestant Christian history, I should say, away from all of that, and to transform the thinking and the worldview of America through the schools into a socialist, communist, Marxist worldview. That was the ambition. And they knew when they set it up, it was not going to happen all at once, because it wouldn't have worked that it tried to do it all at once. They had to do it a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, one year after another. But this is where the word progressive comes in. And when they talk about making progress, it's the progress of subverting America to this Marxist ideology. And now it's very clear that the Marxists have joined with the Muslims. On the last program, I talked about this article from the Washington Post titled Sharia in America by Michael Broyd, where Michael Broyd, the author, is talking about how Islamic courts are becoming common in North America, and he actually sees a future in the normalization of Islamic courts. Now, one thing I failed to mention on the last program is that Michael Broyd, or rather Michael J. Broyd, is a professor of law at Emory University and their School of Law. And here's his bio. Michael J. Broyd is a professor of law at Emory Law and a senior fellow at the Center for the Study of Law Religion at Emory University. And then it goes on. So this is not just the fleeting opinion of a liberal editor at the Washington Post. No, not at all. This is from a professor of law who teaches on Jewish law, family law, law, and religion. And this is his view, and he's obviously Jewish. And here he is talking about a future for Sharia law in America. All right, brethren, let's go to our commercial break. We're going to talk more when we come back right after this.
Films present assassins and wolves in sheep's clothing. A Lamp in the Dark unfolds the fascinating history, the Bible, and the lives of the saints who fought to preserve it. This exciting look into the times of valiant men of faith, such as John Wycliffe, William Tyndale, and Martin Luther, is a must-see for any follower of Christ. Filled with rich visual graphics and dramatic reenactments, A Lamp in the Dark is an epic documentary, a powerful witnessing tool for church and Bible study groups around the world. Share with your church, your family, and friends the untold history of the Bible today.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. In April of 2013, I found a Mountain House distributor and ordered some freeze-dried food for my family because I had become concerned about what was happening in America, our lack of national security, the threat to our power grid. I've been a customer of Mountain House through one of their distributors, but now Worldview Weekend, as of October 25th, 2016, has been approved to be a distributor for Mountain House. Now look, the key word here is balance. We don't put our hope in horses and chariots. We don't put our security in food and gold and silver. But it is important to be diversified and to be prepared. And if you're interested, you can now go into the bookstore at worldviewweekend.com/bookstore and check out some of the freeze-dried food that you can order. I think people ought to have a little bit put aside, as I've done since April of 2013, in case of an emergency. You get free shipping and handling, and you're supporting the general operating budget of Worldview Weekend. Just simply visit our bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore, worldviewweekend.com/bookstore.
Okay, praise the Lord, you guys. I'm Chris Pinto. This is Noise of Thunder Radio. Thanks for staying with the show today. We've been talking about what's going on in America, how, yes, indeed, it is as disturbing as it is. If you go research this, I mean, there's so many articles out there talking about it, but yes, Sharia law is, one step at a time, being advanced slowly but surely in our country, and it's being acknowledged more and more. Obviously, conservatives are speaking against it, but liberals are acting as though it's really no big deal. And, of course, anybody who studies Sharia law knows that under Sharia law, all non-Muslims effectively become slaves and dogs. All rights belong only to the Muslim under Sharia. Yeah, but for me, it all comes back to the first command, brethren. Comes back to what God says, where he says, I am the Lord thy God, you shall have no other gods before me. God promises, he says over and over again, that we shall fear the Lord, to fear the Lord, and you shall not fear other gods. And then the Lord will deliver you from the hands of all your enemies. But whenever the children of Israel would turn aside and begin worshiping other gods, then they would fall into the hands of their enemies. And we read that over and over again in the book of Judges. Well, let's go over 1 Kings chapter 18, the story of Elijah and the false prophets of Baal. Down in verse 17, where Elijah comes before King Ahab, Ahab who was married to the wicked queen Jezebel. And verse 17 it says, and it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam, or really Baal, Baal or Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. Prophets of the groves here, I've got a footnote that says the groves or idols. It's interesting that word groves is sometimes interpreted or thought to mean literally groves like out in the woods in some occasions, like the Bohemian Grove in Northern California, or the word itself could be a reference to idols carved typically out of wood, but not always, obviously, but idols, graven images that were worshipped. So Elijah says, call the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. Verse 20, so Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? And that, brethren, is the point we are at in our country. That's the point we're at. And it is, there is a contest here. You know, there Elijah was dealing with the prophets of Baal and then the prophets of these other idols in the groves. What we're dealing with is we have two primary false gods that are being set up in America. One is Karl Marx, and the other is the moon god Allah. Those are the two false gods, the false idols that are being set up in our country. And they're trying to empower both of these counterfeit gods against the only true God, who was, I believe, mentioned, written of in the Declaration of Independence. If you study the wording of the Declaration, we're going to be going over this in our upcoming film, when it talks about the laws of nature and of nature's God. You study that phrase. That phrase is an ancient Christian teaching about how God communicates, one, through the creation, and two, through the law of God in the Holy Scripture. And that's where it comes from. And it's, even though it's a part of what gets people confused, is they find Jefferson using this phrase, and they say, well, Jefferson was a deist, so they think it's a phrase that has to do with deism. They don't realize, no, that phrase and that idea, you can trace that back to Psalm chapter 19 and to early church history, the 1,000 years before Jefferson and more. But we're going to talk about all that in our next film. And so Elijah says, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the word God there is being used. The word God is not really God's name. The word God is really a title of authority. And so he's saying, if the Lord be God, follow him. In other words, the Lord, the God of Israel. If he's the true God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now, think about that, brethren. Do you ever feel outnumbered by the opposition? Do you ever feel like true believers are few and far between? This is what Elijah seems to be communicating here. And then he throws down the gauntlet, this challenge to them. It says, let them therefore give us two bullocks and let them choose one bullock for themselves, etc., cut it in pieces. And then it goes on, and he tells them to call on the name of their gods. Verse 24, and call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Okay, then what happens next? Very interesting. He allows the prophets of Baal to go first. So he says, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And so they do this, and then they start calling on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice nor any that answered. And then verse 27, Elijah mocks them. Okay. And verse 28, and they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. Now you go look up the Islamic ritual where the Muslims have this annual ritual where they cut themselves with knives until the blood gushes out on them. And it's why It's one of the reasons why I believe that Islam, the religion of Islam, is a modern manifestation of Baal worship. There's more going on there. You know, you have elements of Arianism, you have elements of Manichaeanism, Gnosticism, apostate Judaism. I mean, it's this whole hybrid system of ideas that all are brought together into one system, Islam. But every time I read that, I always think of the, you know, that Islam is essentially modern Baal worship. All right, so it goes on from there. We all know how this ends. The prophets of Baal, they get no response. Then Elijah has his servants take buckets of water and pour it on his sacrifice to the Lord. So he douses it with water. Then he calls upon the Lord. It says, and it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And that's the whole purpose, brethren, of opposing idolatry, of opposing counterfeit belief systems, so that the hearts of men might be turned away from these things, turned away from the darkness, as Jesus said to Paul, the apostle, when he commissioned him as Saul of Tarsus. So I'm going to send you to the Gentiles to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God. That's our purpose, brethren, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, beloved, that is going to do it for us today. That is our show. We'll stop it there, but we will be back next time as the Lord leads us. Until then, God bless you guys. I'm Chris Pinto, and you've been listening to Noise of Thunder Radio.